Momentum, helping men succeed in life.
It is great to have you here for this week's Momentum with Tim and Des. Des, nice to have you here.
Yeah, good in to be studio. Here, absolutely.
We've got a very special guest this week by the name of Ross Nancaro. We're going to find a bit more about Ross's story and what he's up to. But Ross, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's great to be with you guys today.
So, Ross, I guess before we launch into what you're currently doing, tell us a bit of background about yourself, who you are, your family, and paint the picture for us a little bit as to what's led you up until this point.
Yeah, it's good.
Sure. I'm now almost 65. My goodness, those years have gone quickly.
Man, you're young.
I came to faith when I was 25. I was married the same year. And my wife, Donna, is a beautiful woman of God. And she's a midwife and nurse. We have four children, Jai, Daniel, Caleb, and Katie. And they're all grown, of course, and mostly left home now and in various professions and thankfully walking with the Lord.
Good. So you said you came to faith at 25. Tell us a little bit about that story. How did that happen for you?
Sure. I'd probably been stoned for about 8 years at that point. Found myself in a maximum security remand center in Western Australia. And I really hadn't spoken to Christians much. At 8-year-old, I think I'd concluded all religion was hypocrisy and turned my back on anything to do with God and, of course, lived a pretty wild life. When I was 25, I was busted and in West Australia and put into remand. And for the first time in about 8 years, I started to straighten out and ask some of the hard questions of life. What's life about? Where am I going? Yeah. Is God real? Some of those sort of questions. One day I picked up a Gideon Bible in my cell, smuggled it into my cell, you know, so no one had seen me reading it, and opened somewhere and started reading. And I read the words, ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And I thought, that can't be right. You know, God's not that real. And I thought, no, that's just wrong. So I kind of got mad, closed the Bible, threw it away, and continued on. 3 days later, picked up the Bible again, smuggled it into my room and opened it somewhere, started reading, and I found myself reading the exact same words.
Wow.
Ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock, and the door will be opened. And I guess I then looked, is that on every page? You know, I started to check. I hadn't read the Bible before. And for the first time in my life, I started to try to comprehend the reality of a God who was relational.
Wow.
And that was all the difference. Starting to try to imagine a God who cared, a God who was trying to get through to me, of all people, and why me? And I said, wrestled with that for days, and just wrestled with who God is and where I was before God. And I remembered, you know, going back to my upbringing and I remember hearing, you know, knowing or hearing of Jesus dying for the sins of the world. And this particular night, about 3 days after I picked up that Bible, I kind of wrestled with God all night. And I remember saying early hours of the morning, God, I've heard Jesus died for the sins of the world, but I hardly even understand what that means. But I need what he did for me. I need that. Whatever that was, I need that. I want that for me.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, I woke up the next morning and I knew without question that I was in relationship with God, that my sins were forgiven through Jesus. And that's all I knew.
Yeah. That's all you needed to know.
That's right. And I hadn't spoken to somebody I would call a Bible-believing Christian to that point.
Wow.
But that's all I needed to know, and that was the beginning of my Christian journey.
Wow.
That's amazing. So, Ross, tell us a bit then about that journey, because we want to get on to the next part of where you actually went into ministry and did a whole bunch of stuff. But tell us a bit about that walk for you then, because let's be honest, that moment for a lot of people is terrific. Like, they have that incredible moment with the Lord. But then sometimes if there's not the, you know, the right people around, or we don't get locked into a church particularly or a men's group and things like, sometimes we can then find that walk is a real struggle or we fall away. So tell us about the importance of that for you and how that happened then. What was your journey from there?
I knew that life had changed, that had been turned on its head for me. Within a matter of months, my wife actually came to visit me in the Remand Center, and I said to her, I want to introduce you to a friend of mine. His name's Jesus. And I asked her to marry me straight up. Not a very good place to be asking someone to marry.
No, that's right.
But
did she say yes?
She thought I was nuts, actually.
Okay. At that
time. But eventually she did say yes, and we got married within a few months. And probably 6 months later, we moved to Coffs Harbour, and we're in a great church there. Steve Rogers was the pastor, and just a wonderful, grounded man of God. And he discipled us. He just spoke about and lived life in front of us, you know, in just a great way. And that really encouraged us. Probably 3 years later, I was leading youth group and took the youth group to a Keith Green Memorial Concert. It was a video of Keith Green's last concert.
Wow.
And, of course, that concert was titled Jesus Commands Us to Go. And I heard scriptures that night I'd never really read before. I must have read them, but they hadn't registered for me.
Yeah.
And I was challenged that night for people who had never heard the gospel, never heard about Jesus, never had an opportunity to hear.
Yeah.
And I, you know, raced home, and we had a water bed at the time, and I remember running in, jumping on the bed, nearly bounced my wife out the other side, you know. Honey, wake up. We're going to be missionaries.
Wow. Oh, I'm sure she was thrilled at that.
Oh, she was thrilled, man. We had two babies and one on the way.
Perfect timing.
Perfect. Anyway, she said something that kind of changed her life. She said, wait a minute, slow down, you know, get your feet back on the ground. Let's see what God's word has to say about this.
Wow.
Big mistake. So we're 3.5 years old as believers, and went to New Tribes Mission Bible College. And from there into missionary training, and became members of New Tribes Mission Australia.
So how did you support yourself during that time?
Basically, the organization said, you raise your own support. And we didn't know what to do, so we actually had a garage sale and sold all of our furniture because we didn't have anything else. And we packed up and went to Bible college. One of the great stories of God's provision and part of the ethos of that organization was not to canvass for funds.
Okay.
If people asked your needs, fine. But if they didn't, not to you know, put pressure on or things like that. We were there about a week, and I remember going to the greengrocers and to the shops, and put my card in the ATM and found there was no money in there. I thought we had money. Went home and told Donna, honey, there's nothing there. We've got no money. And so I got one of my kids' piggy banks and broke it open. And there was $7.70 in 1 and 2 cent pieces in this. You know, that was a Saturday morning. On the Monday, there was a check in the mail for us for $500 from somebody who was supporting us.
Yeah.
And I realized that check had been put together and posted well before I even knew I had a need.
Yeah.
You know, and God has continued to meet our needs just like that for 35 years now. And those testimonies, those milestone moments, watershed moments, put us in great stead for what God led us into later.
Okay, so let's beautifully segue into that, which is Every Daughter Matters. And this, I think, came out of something that happened for you in 2015. Tell us a bit about that journey.
So I had worked with New Tribes Mission for 25 years. So when we resigned from there, my wife and I moved to India. And my wife had a medical ministry in Tamil Nadu. And it was there that we started to turn our eyes towards Nepal. Nepal had just really opened up a few years before that. And we started to think of what we could do in Nepal. It was through that time that we started to hear the stories of trafficking. And many times we'd ask ourselves, what can we do, you know, but we're so busy. And seriously, we've been incredibly busy in the church planting roles. But we'd ask ourselves again and again as we'd hear harrowing stories and the numbers of women and girls being trafficked.
Tell us a little bit about the numbers, Ross, because most people wouldn't understand the depths of the problem.
Nepal is a unique country, and 30% of the women are probably literate in Nepal. It's a very remote regions and towns and et cetera like that. The girls are very pretty, but they're naive and they're easily deceived. And the families with low education and poverty are also easily deceived. As a result, it's been a hub for human trafficking. And currently, there are about 20,000 women and girls trafficked from Nepal into India every year. Mm. And that's an incredible number. That's about 50 girls a day. So the girls, once they're across the border into India, they're trafficked into brothels around India itself or into Pakistan, Bangladesh, or the Middle East, and various places like that. We realized a couple of years ago that we're actually perfectly positioned to do something about human trafficking. Again, it was one of those watershed moments. We'd been probably looking for the right partners, and we found that in Pastor Yuvraj with an organization called ASIN, or the acronym is ASIN, Asish Social Service Nepal. Asish means blessing.
Okay.
The blessing, Social Service Nepal. And he's been working in human trafficking for about 12 years. After a conversation with Pastor Yuvraj one day, I did that again, wrestle with God, you know, the conversation going back and forth, and as if the Lord is saying, Ross, if you could do something, you would, right? Oh, yes, Lord, you know, like, I'm just an ordinary guy, but I want to do something. I mean, this is a tragedy against humanity that took me to the place of saying, well, we must do something. And so we started Every Daughter Matters. And it's an arm in Australia to support SISH Social Service Nepal and the workers there. And through that, we've been able to establish booths along the border in busy bus parks. In each booth, we employ two counsellors who are uniquely trained, and they have the support of the local community leaders, the bus companies, the local police. And they literally get on the buses and they'll look for girls who are vulnerable or potential of being trafficked. And I'll ask them questions, where are you going, who are you traveling with, questions like that. And they're pretty attuned to what questions to ask.
Mm.
And they pretty quickly pick up on whether a girl is being trafficked or not. And a large part of our work, of course, is in education. So if they suspect something is happening for a girl, they've got the police on speed dial and they'll be educating her. We've got emergency shelter homes attached to each of the booths that we've got, so we can pull the girls out and put them into a home for a few days or a week or whatever, continue education about anti-trafficking and things like that.
Mm.
From there, and literally it does rescue those girls. Each booth would average between 30 and 50 girls a month that they intercept.
Mm.
So currently we're intercepting approximately between 90 and 150 girls every single month.
Mm.
Wow.
And that's just tremendous. We're just so thankful that we can do that.
Ross, if somebody listening right now would like to get involved in that, as in would like to understand a bit more about what you do, or perhaps even lend some support to what you do, what's the best way that they can get some information and maybe do that?
Yeah, Tim, probably the best way is on our website. That's www.everydaughtermatters.org.au.
Mm.
And there's a bunch of information there on Every Daughter Matters, and also options to sponsor a counsellor. You know, a lot of people think of trafficking and they think it's too hard, it's too big, it's foreign, it's a corrupt country, or all of these other things. But you know what? It comes down to these girls.
Yeah.
And they're individuals.
Mm.
They're innocent. They're sweet girls. They really are. And they've been deceived, sometimes betrayed by family members or somebody else, and then sold as if they're a commodity.
Mm.
You know, and what they're forced to endure after that is unspeakable.
Mm.
There's a book called Rohita, and it's really worth reading if anybody is interested in understanding human trafficking from Nepal. Rohita was a girl, a 16-year-old. She was taken by another family, Nepali family, into India. She woke up in a hospital, and first thing she realized was that they'd taken and harvested one of her kidneys.
Wow.
That's human trafficking.
Yeah.
And then she was sold to a brothel, you know, and she'd had a baby, so of course the brothel owners took a baby and hold their child over the head to force these girls to be with dozens of men every day.
Mm.
And it's rape every single day, every single week, every single month, until every year, until these poor girls are literally worn out and cast aside. But the thing is, we can do something about it. Real men, honest men, men of God, we can stand up. We can make a difference. We can say, no more, not on my watch. We can just give our voice, being aware of the problem of human trafficking and saying, I'm prepared just to say no and to be aware of the problem. Guys, if we did no more than that, we would make a massive difference throughout this world. I'm a simple guy. I'm an ordinary bloke, seriously. You know, I like football, I play golf, I go fishing with my mates, and I just love hanging out with guys. I'm a simple guy. But then I think, you know what? Even as an ordinary, everyday Joe, I get a chance to make a difference for humans. And it's a massive difference, and I'm so thankful for that.
I suppose part of the challenge is that it's so far, like you said, it's so far away, it's so far removed, it's so... like we can't actually comprehend that this is happening, and it is hard for us to get our heads around that. So everydaughtermatters.org.au, if you would like to investigate the website again and find out a bit more about that. But let's bring it back to right now. You talk about men's breakfast and things like that, and let's talk about that sort of thing for a moment, because obviously when you attend men's breakfast, so you might get up and speak and share the stories and things like that. What do you think is working with men to equip them, empower them, excite them to raise a standard, to be a man that goes, you know what, yeah, I'm actually going to be one of these safe men. I'm going to prove that to my family first, and then maybe do something radical and go overseas. You know what I mean? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
Sure. You know, I love the journey of discipleship, and it's for ordinary guys. It's for fishermen. It's for guys who love doing that. And that journey starts with us and saying, you know, I'm going to be a follower of Jesus. I'm going to be in relationship. I'm going to learn to be a good guy. I'm going to learn to be a good husband. I'm going to learn to be a good father. You know, I don't know that that comes naturally to too many men. But I love encouraging men. I think men need to hear the stories of other ordinary guys doing well. And they need the encouragement. They need to know it's okay. You know, you will blow it. Don't question that. You will blow it. What you do when you blow it is going to count. Yeah. Every man hits the wall. When we hit the wall, where do we turn?
Our special guest today has been Ross Nancarro, everydaughtermatters.org.au, that website we mentioned before. If you'd like to check out some details of that and maybe consider supporting that incredible ministry, which is having incredible impact.
Ross, we honor you and I just love your story and how you've got to where you are, and your life is a testimony to grace and love of God, and it's just amazing.
Well, thanks, guys. I do appreciate your encouragement. I really do. It's wonderful to be able to share the goodness of God. He is good. You can trust him.
Yeah.
And I love that thought.
For more information, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org.